Ask me anything you want about Taze and I answer to the best I can. Okay, this will eat the 10 minutes, you know. No, Tails is an operating system. That is, it's something that you can run on your computer, just like you run Windows or Linux or something. It's a live operating system. Which means it's not installed on the hard drive, but you typically boot it from an external device such as a USB stick, SD card or DVD. And it has two main properties, the first one being that it's amnesic by default. That is, unless you do something special, everything that you are doing during a given Tails session will be forgotten as soon as you shut down the computer. Okay, and the second property, main property of Tails is that it torrifies everything that goes out to the internet, almost. So it sends it for the Tor anonymization network, which provides anonymity for those who need it, but perhaps more importantly for most people, protection against location tracking, correlation between different activities, and so on. It's meant to be usable with some minimal amount of training for most people, even non-technical. That's it.
How do you torrify everything?
We configure software to go through Tor, and we block everything that doesn't go through Tor. Yeah, there are several layers of protection to avoid outgoing connections to the internet to go go in the clear, including firewall rules. It's torrified too. Well, as far as I understand, the threat models are quite different. That is, Frypto is meant to be used with persistence for the entire system, including user data, while in Tails, by default, nothing is persistent, but you can turn on opt-in persistence for selected bits of data. You can have a folder where you can put your files. You can, just by clicking on some buttons, there are graphical interfaces for all of that. You can enable persistence for your GNUPG keyring, your browser bookmarks, things like that. And as far as I understand, Frypto is meant to be even more usable. That is to be able to replace the operating system people may have been using previously without too much hassle and ideally without users even noticing they're using something different. While Tails clearly puts the bar a little bit higher, it's very few people use it as their main operating system. Most people run it in virtual machines or reboot their computer to use Tails. And on the anonymity and security side of things, I believe that currently Tails is trying to achieve something way stronger and is currently succeeding. But this is just because those two projects have different goals and use cases in mind. Anonymity on the local network. So by default, Tails uses a random MAC address. It changes it at boot time before any outgoing internet connection from the operating system goes out. I mean, your Intel AMT or vPro or things like that can still do stuff that we cannot control, but we modify MAC addresses MAC addresses are an identifier of network adapters, network cards, Wi-Fi devices that typically identifies you when you go from Wi-Fi access point A to Wi-Fi access point B. That's why we change it. Does that answer your question? For currently, well, we're kind of in a transition period. There is, so far, we were handling the local network as moderately trusted. That is, we torify everything motor didn't apply to LAN, and everything, every outgoing connection to the two machines and the local network were allowed. This is something that we, after years of discussion, and we change our mind and we'll probably be a bit stricter in terms of what we allow to go on the LAN. It's a hard question because it will harm usability for sure. People expect to be able to use network printers to connect to a local web server, things like that. And we can probably create some whitelist of authorized ports. But once you do that, basically you kind of break the security you wanted to add in the at first, and the whitelist won't ever cover every possible use cases. So for people, it will break stuff, and that's the kind of decisions we always have to make in TAZ, finding a balance between keeping the system usable, because as we all know, probably. A super secure tool is totally useless if it can just be used by 50 super geeks. So we try to find balance between usability and security.
How many people are in the
TAZ? That's a hard question to answer because the boundaries are no, not really fixed or formalized. I mean, right now I would say that this year, three people are kind of full-time, and three or five other people are spending at least a day each week and working on TAZ. And then this doesn't count the many small contributions that I cannot account for right now. As opposed to what? No, you cannot. No. That was a very easy question. I want more of those. For downloads, we don't have lots of data because our ISO images are served by a network of something like 30 mirrors that that are run by volunteers we don't know, and so we don't have means to get any statistic from them. We have statistic for some of them. Well, for downloads, we can only count how many people download the detached OpenPGP signature for our ISOs, and I absolutely don't have the figures in mind, but we are publishing them in every monthly report we put in on our blog. So I don't, I think if in the order of a few thousand or dozen thousands downloads of the detached signature each month. And what we can know, and the next frequently asked question will be how, is that about 12,000 TAZ are started each day and connected to the Tor network. So how do we know that? And startup TAZ needs to be able to tell the user about possible security issues and for the need to upgrade their system. So on startup TAZ connects gets an atom feed over Tor, and from that deduces whether it's worth it to tell the user, oh, beware, you should upgrade. And this request, we assuming that only Tails queries this resource, by we can count how many Tails boot basically.
Ci sarebbe uno che si è scritto teppismo mobilità e NFC.